The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Mick Norton, Craig Forsyth and Gareth Topham in the studio. It's Hamilton, Lingfield and Southwell on Thursday afternoon, Kempton and Forslass in the evening domestically. And there's also racing over in Ireland as well from Tipperary on Thursday evening too. So six meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton. And I'm joined in the studio by Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. And I'm very, very well indeed, if not a little bit wet.
Yes, the weather is, it's causing one or two problems, isn't it, at the moment?
It is indeed, yeah. Very, very inclement weather here in Yorkshire. Don't think they're getting it quite as bad further down the country, but even so, it's certainly a case of keeping your eye on the weather, and that certainly might just change your opinions on one or two of the big races coming up later on in the week.
Yep. The good news is that Epsom seem to be dodging the weather a little bit. They've only had 5 mil so far, and the going's still good at Epsom, so that's good news for the Derby and the Oaks. And we'll take a quick look ahead to the two big races this weekend as well, and the Coronation Cup, because not too far away from them. And we have the final decks in for the Oaks as well. And Marvellous is the 11-4 favourite. She's been very popular since she won the Irish 1000 Guineas. She was about 20-1 before she won that race, and then 6-1 straight after the race. And Steady Support has seen her go 11-4 clear favourite. Tagruda was as short as 6-4 with us a few weeks ago. She's out to 3-1. It's 7-1 for Tarfasha. Itty Mile 8s, 10-1 for Madame Chiang. Marsh Daisy 12s, 14-1 for Volume, and 20-1 or bigger prices the rest. So Aidan O'Brien's Marvellous, quite well backed now at the top of the betting. Pimmy, do you think she will win the Oaks?
Well, with a name like that, why not? She's marvellous, isn't yeah. she? And she certainly was marvellous with that three-length success at the Curragh last time we saw her in the hands of Ryan Moore. Joseph Fert takes over this time. And again, if you're just working on official figures here, she's actually rated 116 official rating.
Yeah.
So she's way, way clear of any of the other fillies in the race. So, you know, she, on what we've seen so far this year, was very impressive. The fact that the handicapper rates her so highly is also impressive. And really and truly, if she has a little bit of luck, and you need a little bit of luck round there, she's very, very interesting, and she's certainly a worthy favourite. And for those guys who got 20 to 1 about her, well, good on you, because it was money well spent, I feel, if you got those sort of odds. But again, interesting. I think O'Brien's well represented in the shape of Dazzling and in the shape of Palace. So, you know, he's got plenty of darts to throw at the target, so to speak. Rafe Beckett's got a good strike rate in this race. He's got Regarde. And that filly, she ran well enough in defeat at York behind Madame Chiang. I thought that was not too bad a run for her. She's more likely a big, big price, but obviously a lot to prove. The Northern Challenger, Lily Rule, she ran really well in defeat at York, and Tony Coyle supplemented her for 30,000. So they obviously feel that she's worthy of taking a chance. And certainly, again, if the ground came up a bit softer than what they're predicting at the moment, she certainly could become a player. And the other one that I thought was interesting was the Hughie Morrison filly, Marsh Daisy, who continues to catch the eye with her progression. And with what's happened in the past regarding Jimmy Felcher and his family, wouldn't that be a fitting winner as well for him? So lots to look forward to for the Investec Oaks in memory of Sir Henry Cecil. I think the favourite's going to be hard to oppose, but I wouldn't mind a little bit on her stable companions. What price? Dazzling. What price Palace?
Dazzling, 33-1. Palace, 20s.
Oh, heavens to Mercatroid. I think they're juicy at those prices.
Yeah.
I'd have a little bit of that. The two Aidan O'Brien's bigger price runners.
Okay. Aidan O'Brien then has a good to win the Oaks. Sorry, he also has a good, very, very good recent record in the Derby. He's won the last two, won it more times, of course, in the past. And Australia is the favourite for this year's Derby at 11-10, but fairly weak at the top of the betting. Now out to odds against for the first time in a long time. Kingston Hill 7-1, and that has been well backed into 7-1. Geoffrey Chaucer 8s, True Story 10s, 14s for Eben Oren and Western Him, 15-1 for Fascinating Rock, and 16s or bigger price as the rest. If the rain does get to Epsom, Aidan O'Brien's already voiced concerns about that with regards to Australia. At 11-10, Pimmy, do you take him on at the top of the betting?
Well, I think he's now becoming a little bit more realistic than what he has been over the previous few weeks, hasn't he? Yeah, his run in the Guineas was very, very good indeed, despite things not going for him. But it's not a one-horse race, I don't think, and hopefully now the market's starting to reflect that. Obviously, Kingston Hill's performance in the 2000 slightly disappointing, but Connections were very, very positive regarding that run. They thought there's lots more to come from him, yep. And I think that's why he's been supported. And again, Andrea at Zini, lucky to escape a nasty fall the other day, but he's riding on the crest of a wave, certainly won't lack anything from confidence from the saddle, that is for sure. So Kingston Hill's interesting. Charlie Appleby's gone for Kevin Manning in chase of Mikel Barcelona on Sudden Wonder, but I think Sudden Wonder would really have to up his game to take a challenging position. But the other one I thought looked value is the Gosden runner, and I think it'll possibly be the first choice of the yard, and that's Western Him for William Buick. I think at 14-1, he more than likely represents a little bit of value. And he's had a little practice round there the other morning with the Morning with the Stars.
Yeah,
just a little chance to get a feel for the track. So, again, I give him a little bit of a chance. But I think the more he becomes odds against Australia, the more realistic is his price to the thing. And again, I suppose people are just a little bit uneasy if the ground does come a little bit softer nearer the time. But for me, his form is the best on offer.
Yeah.
And again, it's just whether on the day he can handle the track, he can handle the proceedings, and whether at the end of the day that 2000 guinea run proves to be top notch.
Yeah, well, he did look like he needed a step up in trip there, and his breeding suggested what he's by a Derby winner in Galileo. He's out of an Oaks winning mare in Ouija Board, so the step up in trip should see him in a better light anyway, shouldn't it?
Most certainly, yeah, yeah, most certainly. And again, when you think about that breeding, goodness gracious me, second to none, isn't it?
Bred in the purple, as they say, isn't it?
Well, indeed. I bet if he cuts himself, the blood will be blue.
There you go. So that's the Derby then. And another big race on Saturday is the Coronation Cup. Unfortunately, we won't see last year's Derby winner, Ruler of the World, in the lineup. He's apparently a bit stiff, so they've said he's not going to go to the race. Cirrus de Zegler is the favourite at 5-6. 7-2 for Flintshire. Talent 6-1. 10s for Ambivalent and Empoli. And then 20-1 or bigger prices. The rest, Cirrus de Zegler, Pimmy's right back to his best, isn't he, his last couple of starts?
Been really good the last couple of starts. He did it really well in France last time out. For me, he's quality. Just oozes quality and class. And I nearly think that that's great, juicy price,
yeah.
That.
I thought he'd be shorter than that.
I did. I thought he'd be quite odds on.
Yeah.
And for me, that's value.
Yeah.
Now, whether our odds compilers know something you and I don't, and sometimes that is the case, but I think they're being generous there.
Yeah.
And has that ever been said about a William Hill odds compiler?
I don't know.
Generous? Doubtful.
Yeah, so we'll go with Cirrus de Zegler then at a pretty generous 5-6 at the moment in that. Right, anything else got your eye pinned me in the news before we move on to Thursday stuff?
Not really. I mean, I think we're just paddling along at the moment, aren't we? It's sort of height of the season, June, July, August, flat out with 4, 5, 6 meetings a day. So, you know, there's plenty of betting opportunities to come. And obviously, we get the Derby out the way Saturday. And then top hat and tails come out.
Yes.
Dust them off. I'm putting on my top hat. Yeah. Putting on my tails. Tuesday. Here we go.
Yeah, it's not far away from Royal Ascot. The racing really heating up at the moment. And
shame about the weather.
Shame about the weather, yeah. Yeah. In stark contrast. Right, we're going to look at Thursday's racing. Pimmy's picked out a few races for us at Hamilton, and we'll get his thoughts in just a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, Hamilton Park on Thursday. The first race that Pimmy's going to look at is the 3 o'clock. And this is a handicap, a classics handicap, and it's a qualifier for the £15,000 Scottish Mile Series final. It's over a mile, of course. And we've got 11 of them in the lineup here, Pimmy. So it could be a nice situation shape to the race.
Yeah, I mean, we're going from the ridiculous to the sublime, aren't we? Not have the words of the Derby. Royal Ascot just tripped off our tongues.
Yeah.
And now we're going to Hamilton Park. Class 6, first prize, 1,941. Mm. Heavens to Murgatroyd. But anyway, somebody who's going to be looking forward to winning it in this Class 6 11-runner affair. Very, very trappy, as you can imagine. Plenty of apprentice jockeys getting the opportunities to claim here as well. And a young jockey who's been catching the eye of late is young Jack Garrity, some former jockey Russ Garrity. Seemed to have good effect a couple of weeks ago up at Ayr when he rode a few winners for Jim Goldie. And I think Liz Safilla could be the interesting one here in this mile race. She's tough, she's consistent. She doesn't have to be a world beater in the context of this race. His £7 climb will be very, very helpful indeed. And I imagine that she could well be a nice each-way slant on this 11-runner affair.
OK, Lil Safella then, the each-way slant in the 3 o'clock on to the 4:30 next. And this is a qualifier for the £15,000 Scottish Sprint Series final. It's over 6 furlongs. And again, a nice field size, 13 of them in the lineup here. Where do you want to start in this, Pimmy?
Goodness gracious me, where do you want to start? Well, we'll start at the top of the rock with Baron Run, who we last saw him at Hamilton in a handicap 0-75. He led at halfway point, then got tired inside the final furlong and finished 5 lengths behind Alexandra Drockentel, I think that's how you pronounce it. And he was slightly disappointing there, but he has got some bits and bats of form in the book, this fella. And he is a course and distance winner in the past as well. So that's sometimes an advantage at Hamilton, if you like the track, that is for sure. Medici Time from the Tim Easterby Yard. Again, he's been running well enough without actually troubling the judge of late. I'd imagine your likely favourite is going to be Flying Clarets, who put up a good performance last time at Newcastle when he was just a neck behind Aditar. And that was certainly an encouraging run for Flying Carrots. And he has the very capable Samantha Bell claiming £5 off him. And the other horse I thought was interesting, who's going to be a much bigger price, and that's Rioja Day. Slightly disappointed a little bit of late, but did come good at the back end of last season. And he could well be, again, a bit of value for us in this trappy event. So I'm going to go each way, Rioja Day.
OK, Rioja Day each way then. Jim Goldie's got a couple in the lineup there. His other one, Gonino De That, is coming into this race in form as well. Jack Garrity, you mentioned he's promising in the saddle, claiming his 7. Could you give him a chance?
Yeah, he could definitely give him a chance. And again, he just got there last time out when he beat Rock Canyon, didn't he, ahead? That was up and down. He definitely comes in there with a chance. And the thing about this fella is his confidence will have been buoyed by that success. So he could just start to get back on an upward curve again then, gone in and done that. But I'm going to go with his stable companion.
OK. The last race we're going to look at is the 5 o'clock, and this is a Class 6 handicap over the extended 1 mile and 5 furlongs. So some stayers in action for this one. And Rocky 2, I suppose, will attract quite a bit of attention. Comes here in winning form. The only one to come into the race in winning form for Phil Kirby. Paul Mulrennan's been riding well for most of the season. What do you make of the favourite? Well, likely favourite here, Pimmy.
Rocky 2, interesting. Yeah, no two ways about it. Came good last time out when he beat Ballyhague at Musselburgh. That was over the same trip as tomorrow, a mile and 5. And I certainly think he's an interesting player. As you say, confidence will have been boosted by that success. Good combination too of Phil Kirby and Paul Mulrennan. Both trainer going well and jockey riding at the top of his game. He's been in great forms so far this season, has Paul Mulrennan. So we certainly think that he's going to come here with a big, big chance on the favourite there. Of the others, I'm going to try and look for a bit of a value again. And it's something that I continue to do. Endeavour.
Yes.
From the Diane Sayer Yard, they've been in good form. I think this fella's been running over jumps, hasn't he, of late, Endeavour. And he didn't run too badly when he was 4th of 10 in a ladies' race at Musselburgh last time out. I'm just looking at him as a bit of value to try and make up the each-way handicap slant for my 3 races. And again, the yard of Diane Sayer has been in real good form of late. So hopefully he can run a big race tomorrow afternoon. But the favourite is going to be difficult to oppose.
Yeah. Okay, then. Let's just have a quick summary for me, if you'll spin us through your selections for Thursday one more time.
Yeah, well, we're going to the each-way slant on these three races. So starting at the 3 o'clock at Hamilton, we're going to go for number 7, Lil Safila, for Paddy Holmes and Jack Garrity. In the 6-furlong dash at 4:30, we're going to take a chance with Rioja Day for Jim Goldie and Gary Bartley. And on the final race of the afternoon, the 1-mile-5 handicap at Hamilton, again, looking for value, looking for an each-way slant in this 8-runner race in the shape of number 7, Endeavour.
OK, good stuff. Thank you very much, Pimmy. Enjoy it on Thursday. So there you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Mick Norton, Greg Forsyth and Gareth Topham in the studio. Hamilton, Lingfield and Southwell are the afternoon meetings. We have Kempton and Forslass in the evening domestically, and there's racing over in Ireland on Thursday evening as well from Tipperary. So 6 meetings to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.